chair, and then we'll stand up again.
Yeah.
Sounds tricky.
Want to do it higher?
Well, I'll work with this. We've had enough delays.
Welcome, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and please stand for the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Here.
Grunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present?
Item number three, consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be able to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have one item. It's the approval of the August 9th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented.
I move approval of the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? At this time, hearing of citizens' comments, please keep your comments to 5 minutes. I see mostly staff, if not all staff. Yes, Jim. You're semi-staff.
Thank you. I'd like to invite you all to mark your calendars for October 13th. We just scheduled the State of the Community Luncheon at Woody Mountain. We had previously kind of tentatively had it for an earlier date, but then didn't work for one of our speakers, so it's October 13th. So we also have September 15th, we have business after hours at Good Neighbors Food Pantry and the Lunch Free Clinic. And you'll be able to meet the new director of the Chamber of Commerce. Her name is Ashley Cousins. We brought her to Team Boeing on Friday, and she'll be starting. She's already in leadership Charlevoix County, and she'll be starting work in the office on September 13th, so you'll be able to see her and meet her at the September 15th Business After Hours if you'd like to. And then the next event after that is our Business Expo on November 2nd, which is out of Boeing. So that's what's going on with the Chamber. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other commentary?
Just let the commission know in relation to Jim's comments about the expo. Barb's already been in contact with Jim with regards to reserving a couple booths for us like we did last year. Obviously, it'll be at a different location, but we're still looking to get two booths.
Very good. And some of those dates, you and I have on the 15th, will be an MML conference for business after hours.
Yes.
Conflict there.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on to correspondence. Mike?
I have nothing to present.
Laura?
And I have one item that I received as an invite to the Sharm United Way. It's a poverty simulation workshop on Friday, September 16th. And they're inviting anyone as commissioners or alternates as representatives to attend. It's from 1 to 4 p.m. Sounds like a pretty interesting workshop. I think I'll plan on attending. If it works out. So if there's anyone out there who in the community who might like to join in, that'd be great. Some of you will be at the convention. So
yeah.
If there's anyone else who might like to go.
Thank you. Very worthwhile. And I'm glad you're representing us. So on to city manager's report. Mike?
It's hard to believe that we're fast approaching the Labor Day weekend and the start of school, but it is, so we're getting prepared for those activities. Related to that, Andy's estimating that about 95% of the safe routes to school walkways are currently in place, with most of the complicated pieces already done or about to be done. We hope to have all the walkways in place prior to the opening of school on Tuesday the 6th. Some of the signage and the cleanup will be taking place after the school actually opens. As you can see, from across the street, work on the new city facilities project continues to move along with no major hiccups. We heard from the state this week that our three-year-old SAW grant application looks like it's about to be funded. That stands for Stormwater Asset Management Wastewater. This will help us with developing asset management plans for these utilities, and I'll be getting you more information as we get closer to that. You've heard us talk at various times that there are certain items that we included in that SAW grant application, like computers and things like that, that we could buy in advance, and that we'll get reimbursed for that as well, too. So there's a lot of pieces to it, and as we get closer, like I said, we'll bring it back to speed for the commissioners. Not all of you were here when we applied for that. Yesterday's meeting on LED streetlights, organized by the National Governors Association, was very interesting and may be of some value helping moving the adoption of LEDs forward, not only for us, but communities across Michigan. We heard from representatives from other states in the union how LEDs are now clearly the leading streetlight technology of choice across the country. But Michigan is their default position with regards to conversions is going to high-pressure sodium. So there's a bit of a disconnect there. As we know firsthand, Michigan has a long way to go. I had the opportunity to speak multiple times during the day-long sessions, drawing on our experiences trying to implement LEDs here and encouraging the state to find a way to go forward in a more productive manner. Also, we have representatives from the two major utilities who provide street lighting across the state, DTE and Consumers Energy. And the person from Consumers Energy who's overseeing our conversion program was there, and I had a chance to talk to her directly, which was very helpful. It was a very long day, but hopefully it'll end up paying dividends for us and other communities across the state. A reminder that our residential rubbish collection program resumes for our three-week fall run, and that starts tomorrow, continuing on Wednesdays and Thursdays through September 8th. Information sheets on the program are available at the front counter. The ad for our Main Street Executive Director position went out last week. It's posted on our website and outside, among a variety of other places. Applications are due next Wednesday, the 31st, but the position will remain open until filled. On September 8th, which is a Thursday, is shaping up to be a pretty good-sized day for the city of Boyne City, with work on the first phase of the avalanche trail improvements set to begin that day. And later that evening, the Main Street Volunteer Appreciation Dinner will be held in the Veterans Park Pavilion. Hopefully you can mark both of those on your calendars.
I think it's also the ribbon cutting for the trail.
No, that's actually a week before that on September 1st.
Okay.
At 11 o'clock at Young State Park.
Thank you.
On Friday, September 9th, pre-qualification applications for possible bidders on our marina improvement project are due. This is one of the steps that's necessary for helping us to define the products we will use and also help us to develop much better cost estimates on the project. Based on that information, staff will work on developing project phasing and funding options for the city commission to consider, hopefully later this fall. And if you have any questions on these or additional items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Okay.
If we're done with the manager's report portion of it, the next item under this item is the introduction of new staff. And we have new employees who will be introduced by our police chief, DPW superintendent, and city clerk treasurer.
Thank you. So, Jeff, chief, go first.
Thanks, Mayor. I'd like to formally introduce Officer Kelsey Sophia.
Come up here. So far away, can't see.
And we're pleased to help have Kelsey on board. After having a vacancy, filling the vacancy, Kelsey is now in the phase two part of our training, which is where she starts taking over and actually hands-on, doing some of the work with a senior officer. And that's going really well at this time. And we're looking for looking forward to getting Kelsey trained up and getting her out on her own, and so we can be back to full staff and back to regular schedules. But, Kelsey comes to us from Delton. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Delton, small town. So she's familiar with small towns, which is nice. And she went to Ferris State, graduated, and attended the police academy there. And then we kind of stole her from Charlevoix. She was working during for a summer program in Charlevoix, and we hired her. And it's our gain and their loss, unfortunately. But that's the way it goes. It wasn't intentional. We respect them. But, we're glad to have Kelsey on board, and look for good things for the future from her.
Thank you.
Welcome. Would you like to make a seat?
I'd like to introduce Travis Lapierre to the City Commission. He's a lifelong resident of the city of Boyne City. Comes to us at a very much needed time with a very short staff for the summer. And it's good to have him around. He's worked for us for a couple years in the summer program as a light equipment operator. And that's his official title now is a full-time employed light equipment operator. So. He's a very hard-working young man, very honest and dependable. We're glad to have him. Thanks.
Thank you.
And everybody in town knows him.
I'm not surprised he didn't make a speech.
I don't know.
We can grab that. We can do that.
Yes, in the front row.
And I'd like to introduce Jane Halstead. Jane comes to us from McLaren Northern in the neurology department, and Jane's been a member of this community for a very long time, raised her family here, and we're just very, very happy to have Jane here. She comes with a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge of the community, and we're just really, really excited to have her here. So, got a lot of enthusiasm, brings a lot of enthusiasm to the team, so if there's anything you'd like to share?
Thanks, so I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Jane.
Welcome.
So if we could have Jane, Travis, and Kelsey all come up. I don't know if you want your sponsors behind you, or you want the department.
What do you think, Jeff? I think so. Department heads? Or?
Yeah. Jeff, Andy, Cindy. Yeah. You want to stand behind your people?
Can you see over me?
I can. You're good.
Yeah,
that's
good.
So
why don't you get in here then?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
You
want to
smooth out on
the
background?
Back up. City logo action in the background. All right, looks good. Smiles.
Whoa. You gotta jump higher in the back row.
Just
keep going.
All right, here we go. One more. All right, thank you.
We get going pretty good.
Thanks, everyone.
Which is official.
Welcome
to the team. Moving on to reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have in our package the financial statement for June. Any questions on that? Any other correspondence under that? And moving on to old business goals review. Mike?
I'll refer it to Barb.
There you go.
At this point, her memo.
That's right.
Thank you. Definitely old business. We've been at this since January. Since then, we've had a series of public input sessions, online surveys, work sessions amongst the various boards and commissions, the city commission, We've taken input in from work sessions from the Chamber of Commerce, from Main Street. So, you know, all this input together has brought us to the recommendation that you have before you, referring to the chart. And basically what it came down to, in taking all of the input from the community and the various work sessions, the city's got a lot on their plate. So then when we started working with Lou and with Matt, the common theme seemed to be, not that you don't have to always be open to all of the options that are out there, but if we're going to get some things done, we really need to kind of hone in that focus a little bit. So we kind of set three main goals that came out of, you know, showed up basically at all the different work sessions, and then put some items underneath of either action or things that we should be considering in the future to accommodate some of these goals that are set. That's basically it in a nutshell. If you've got any questions or need any further information, I can try to provide that.
But it's on you now to decide if these are the goals you want to stick with, if there's something that you think we've missed and want to add.
Again, there's a lot of background information that was provided with this as well, too. And I think this is probably the most comprehensive opportunity with regards to our goals. Obviously, we do this every 2 years after each city commission election. It's been our pattern for quite some time. And this year, the commission, as Barb mentioned, worked with two additional facilitators in addition to our community goal-setting process and the help that we usually get from Andy and Dean on that. With Lou Bender coming in for our commission retreat. Inaugurated the new group this winter. And then also with Matt McClellan coming down and really trying to incorporate what the commission's looking at with a lot of the other organizations, both inside the city and outside the city as well, too. We certainly don't lack from a wealth of opportunities. The question is, where is the focus going to be? Because in goal setting, as much as we might like to do everything, where it's helpful for staff is if the commission ultimately sets some priorities to say, here's where we think are the priorities. And we kept hearing over and over again that throughout the organizations, that housing, economic development, and parks and recreation were the three areas that we talked about. And again, Barb's broken these down with some of the key elements that were talked about with regards to this. Some ways to deal with the housing to help move that forward. Some of the key projects that are going on with Parks and Recreation as an example. And then the economic development portion. These, obviously on this chart that's there, doesn't list the other huge project like the city facilities project that's going on behind the scenes. Lots of other stuff that's going on too. But the question to the commission is, are you comfortable with this as the priorities for the community going forward for the next year or two?
So when we open this up to discussion for the public and department heads, and then back to us for discussion, will the discussion focus on this particular chart right there? That's what you're proposing as staff.
That is correct.
And I mean, the other 15, 20 pages of support comes down to this flowchart.
Correct.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that we included that other additional information. So, you know, obviously this has been going on for a long time. We've had lots of meetings. I don't want anything to fall off the plate just because we forgot about it somewhere during the process. So those are there to serve as reminders for you. If there's something that you thought was a higher priority or something else that you wanted to add as an additional spoke on to here as well too. Those are all, you know, worthy of discussion as well. So we're presenting based on Barb's research and involvement with this and the discussions we've had. This is our recommendation, but where you go with it is up to you.
Okay. So at this point, I think I will open up for input from the crowd.
Yeah.
The audience. You're okay with that? Okay. So this flow chart is what's being presented. Out of most of you have had input on this and hard work put into this. So at this time, I would welcome comments from department heads or the public. to give us direction and ideas and comments as to how we should proceed forward. Yes, Scott.
Opposed to the previous goals, I think this is a much better approach in identifying those big ideas as opposed to the specific targeted projects as you did before. So this gives you the ability to look at the bigger picture and identify what projects will meet those goals. So I'm in full support of this particular approach.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, Barb.
I'd just like to add, it seemed like as I was putting that together and I'm looking at economic development and trying to figure out what we were going to put under there, really the housing and the parks and rec on both sides of that really feed into the economic development. What we provide in this community is what's going to attract people and businesses to be here, or employees, potential employees for business.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you. Any other input? Yes, ma'am.
I would also point out that, again, this is supposed to serve as a framework for the city itself. But at other organizations like the Chamber and Main Street, I mean, they've had a lot of discussion with on other topics like volunteers and how do we get enough for those. That doesn't mean that because the city picks these as their top priorities, that those groups can't move forward with those as well, too. But this is where we as the city, taking what they had as input as well, too, would be focused.
Okay. Well, let's go to board discussions, I guess. We've been involved for a long time, so I'm sure you all have comments. Gene, you want to start?
Yeah, sure. Well, we've had a lot of good input on this, on the goal setting. We've got the top ones, the housing, economic development, parks and rec, as Barbara said. I fully support this recommendation.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, I'm comfortable having citywide goals as like three main divisions, and I think that will help clarify where we move forward in the future. My only comment is when it comes to the heading for it says housing, I like the heading better. It says housing diversity. It's included in here rather than just housing, because I think that that's kind of the goal is to create a variety of housing to fit different needs and not just housing in general.
What was the title you preferred better?
Housing diversity.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that word.
It's like
sorry.
Economic development instead of economy. Just, you know, it just seems to sound better or feel more correct as to what we're looking at. That's my opinion. So.
You?
Yeah, I think this is a great overview. I just have a couple questions. This Main Street refresh that we went through, I think two of the three goals they had were the housing and the parks and rec, right? If I remember correct.
Correct.
So that ties right into what?
Yes.
All that.
And I think the Chamber, they were on with housing as well, too.
Mm-hmm. And then how, in the support information we have here, how it would be broken out, who would take the lead? And so that will that be something we'll have to kind of figure out as we go along?
Yes.
Like the Planning Commission was going to be the housing and housing diversity. I like that, Lauren. That's good. And the Parks and Rec needed to be ramped up a little bit to handle some of those kinds of things.
Yeah. If the Commission accepts this as the direction to go, then it'll be up to staff working with the various bodies to kind of start developing game plans to actually do it.
Uh-huh. Okay. And then the other, I don't know if I'm getting too picky here, but under the Parks and Rec, there's no mention of trails. I mean, is that just kind of assumed, you know, how we were working on trails and connections and, you know, that sort of thing? Avalanche, some of those sorts of things. Just
good point, because we got Marina Pavilion and
in the Boyne on the Water.
Down,
kind of
yeah.
Thing.
So.
Yeah. But I think this is a great overview and.
Yeah, the biggest difference from that is that's more of an outside project. I mean, it's happening on city property, but unlike these other three, which are going to require significant capital resources of our own, I think these are elevated to a certain level. I don't think it diminishes that. I think that's right. Going to be a key component of economic development, kind of as Barb was saying, and recreation as well, too. So I don't think it diminishes it, but I think these are at a different level.
Okay.
At least right now.
Okay. Ron?
One of the thoughts that came to my mind is we do the citywide planning sessions every 2 years. That's been our tradition. Add 2017 to the header there of the citywide goals, as well as 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see an easel with a nice poster on it in the commission chambers and maybe one in our entrance somewhere. So every, you know, it's highlighted in everybody's minds, and it's a working tool that's not out of sight. I'm impressed with us being able to condense all these 26 pages into one flowchart. It's a job well done, Barb.
Thank you.
And I like your comment over the next. Excellent.
It was already in here.
I'm going to feed off of Hugh's comments. Under Parks and Rec, it says improve and expand. Maybe to clarify, improve and expand current parks, because I guess you're implying improve and expand what? Well, our current parks. So every park we have is tied into either the trails or into new entryways or tied into, you know, the riverfront property, developing that or improving that. I mean, every piece of property that we have. So I would just maybe clarify that. That might feed on what Hugh has said. And under housing, you said housing diversity.
Mm-hmm.
How about housing opportunities?
I think diversity, personally, okay. Because I think we need a variety or a mix, a better mix to appeal to the needs of the community. It's diversity, not. Well, it's also, you know, creating more housing creates opportunities for people, but I just like the word diversity. And that's
I guess,
already in
I don't
here.
Know if diversity is the word we want to explain that we wanted across all economic opportunities.
Well, diversity is.
I guess that's okay. You guys are coming
it's diverse is from one end, one extreme to the other.
Fair enough. I'm
yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Small apartments to large mansions.
But I agree with Ron that this now becomes a working document. So the more that it's publicly displayed, that it holds us to be transparent and hold us to the grindstone. You're done. So everything that we decision-wise we make should fit somewhere within this framework. So I think the experts gave us good direction, and I think Barb did a good job of keeping it to three goals, as recommended by the experts. So, any further comments?
My only further comment would be it doesn't negate anything that might be an opportunity that comes along to enhance the arts or anything else that would maybe not quite fit into these, but be an opportunity presented to us, let's say.
And I think that's where this becomes a useful tool, because
right.
You'll be able to say, okay, there's all sorts of great ideas that are going to come up in
right.
a year or 2 year
right.
period. And you just have to decide, and we as an organization will have to decide, where do those fit?
Mm-hmm.
And if these are our priorities,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we have a good opportunity here, but it just if we can do both of them,
yep.
maybe you want to go forward with it, but still keep those as a priority.
Mm-hmm.
If it distracts from your priorities, you may say, well, it's a good idea, but maybe we need to set up that
yeah,
for a while.
Right.
So it doesn't take anything off the table. It just says,
right.
you know, it helps us organize it better.
Yeah, just wanted to throw that out. It's like our pond, you know, our little fountain pond. It's an opportunity that came along.
Yeah,
you know,
an opportunity, a grant, whatever comes out.
Kind of enhance the area, so, yeah.
But again, like Commissioner Grunch stated as well, too, if we have this information readily available
mm-hmm.
in different formats, you know, on our website,
mm-hmm.
in the building,
mm-hmm.
in these rooms, you know, you'll see it again if this is what you adopt it in our budget presentation. It helps keep us focused on that so we don't wander too far away, which is easy to do.
I do like under housing that it's facilitate and support opportunities because you know, it's not all on our shoulders. It's obviously going to be private money more than semi-government money, so that's well stated.
And it was, you know, and I don't want to go too far out of the field on that, but we had an interesting comment from a person that has the opportunity to look at various communities across northern Michigan at Team Boyne on Friday, talking about her perception of how Boyne City's dealing with this issue compared to others. I mean, we look at ourselves and I think we're all saying we're just barely getting started. But from her perspective, what she brought forward is that we were leaps and bounds ahead of other communities as well.
Yeah, true. But what it does call for an action plan right away, which you've already addressed, so that's good. Under housing. So, if there's no further discussion, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we adopt the citywide goals for 2016-2017 and the flow chart as presented.
Second.
We have a second. Any other discussion?
I'm assuming by consensus it'll incorporate the change of dates, the word diversity, and looking at that box that Tom mentioned as well.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll trust staff to.
I took notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roll call, please.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. That's the easy part. Now we have to go to the action plan to meet all our goals.
Yes.
Okay, moving on to new business, grant application opportunity. Consideration to approve the application of the Coastal Estuarine Land Conservancy Program. This would be under 42.
Patrick.
Thank you, Pat.
Sure. This is in regard to our ongoing process to acquire the open space property. Another grant that we have the opportunity for is called the Coastal and Estuarine Land Conservation Program. It's administered by a couple different departments federally and states such as Michigan that have developed an appropriate plan through the program can participate in the grant opportunity. The program provides matching funds to state and local governments to purchase or acquire conservation easements on lands that will be held and managed in perpetuity for conservation purposes, such as the open space would or is proposed to be. The program provides support, again, for willing sellers within eligible states, as we are, projects that have significant conservation, recreation, ecological, or aesthetic values qualify. As do projects designated in the state's CELCP area, which is the open space property would qualify for a number of that criteria. Among other priorities, consideration is also given to projects that provide public access or other benefits such as recreation. Again, kind of falling in line with the open space and the future there. The program anticipates approximately $1.5 to $2 million in funds for fiscal year 2017. The maximum amount that may be requested for the federal share is $1.5 million. And typical awards for this program range from $100,000 to $1 million. Federal awards or federal funds awarded under the program do require a non-federal match at a 1-to-1 ratio. We're basically looking at leveraging the state funding through the Natural Resource Trust Fund grant application that we applied for in April to work as our 1-to-1 match for this project. They're anticipating an award date somewhere between September and October 1st of 2017. As far as a little background on the process, each year subject to funding, NOAA runs a funding competition with two phases. First is a state competition where we would actually submit our grant application to the DEQ. And they review, prioritize, and ultimately rank projects selected applications are then submitted to the federal program for potential funding in a national competition type process. If the open space is selected for funding, additional supplemental elements may be required to be submitted and reviewed, and would likely require additional approval from the City Commission at that time. And I did attach a second page to this, which outlines the supplemental elements that would likely be required if we are at that stage. So basically, the recommendation is to approve the application to the CELCP program and request for proposals for up to $1.5 million and allow the city manager or his designated to put the necessary documents to implement. Any questions? I'm happy to try and answer.
Thank you, Patrick. Any questions from commissioners at this time?
Yeah, well, I have a couple of questions. Do you want to do that first or have some comment from city staff?
Let's keep it in line here. So at this point, any staff or public commentary on this grant application? Okay, let's go to
Tom. Mike has a good one.
Sorry.
No problem. Just a couple of things. This would be the third grant that we'd be applying for on this property. The Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund is obviously a lead grant. This could come to be a very close second with regards to it. We're not exactly sure how both grants would play with each other. In many respects, it reminds me of what's just gone on with regards to the trail project. We have some state funds and some federal funds and a lot of coordination between the two. Our goal here is to get an application in. We'll try and set up a scenario that's as realistic as we think possible between the split between our local match, the state funds, and then the potential federal funds here to come up with a total of $3.1 million that we're going to need to, 3.2 actually, that we're going to need to acquire the site. So that's why there's some flexibility left in the grant with regards to the 1.5. I don't think that we're going to get that or even apply for that at that point, but we want to make sure the commission gives staff the breathing room to maneuver to try and again line these pieces up. There is a third grant that we've applied for and received from the Charlotte County Community Foundation. That's $10,000 grant, and basically Patrick did a whole bunch of research looking at what other grant opportunities were out there, and rather than dealing with a bunch of little pieces, this large opportunity became clear to us, and we think it's very worth pursuing. I should also advise the commission that I've shared information, this whole memo and background information with regards to the current property owners, Mike Dodd, Bob Rowe, and one of their, Tom Bailey from the Land Conservancy, who's working with us on a variety of issues related to this project. So they're all aware of it, seem very supportive with regards to it as well too. It's just one more piece, potentially a big piece that would hopefully help acquire the funding necessary for this project. And it seems to fall within the timelines for the lease that we set up going through the end of 17 as well.
Thank you. And did we also apply to the village for Recreation Village? County?
They do not provide funds for acquisition.
Thank you.
I think we did apply and we were advised that if we were not eligible for that.
Okay. Okay, let's go to more discussion. Hugh, let's start with you.
So, have you talked to somebody like who's encouraged us to do this that, you know, is a person?
I guess I'd intercede on that as well too. This grant first came to our attention through the tip of the Mid Watershed Council. Renetta, I'm going to mispronounce her name, sorry. Yes, advised us with regards to that. She did some background checking on this that we shared internally here as staff, so we think there is an opportunity here.
So is a $1.5 million like throughout the nation or for the state or for a particular region?
They accept grant applications up to $1.5 million per request. As Patrick mentioned earlier, the total amount of funds that they have to work with is 2 point something.
I think it's, they're expecting 1.5 to 2 million total.
Yep.
For the whole country?
Yes. So it'll be very competitive, yeah. And again, mm-hmm. we don't think that we're going to get.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Again, the typical awards range from 100,000 to a million, so you know we could very well apply and you know receive less if right. we accepted.
But again, we did, Patrick, research what other grants that they have awarded, and $1 million grant, while probably at the upper end of their spectrum, is not unheard of, and it's something that they've done before.
Just reading it too, I was wondering if this is more geared to threatened properties rather than properties like ours, but I guess you'll never know till you go through the process.
Well, they do give you an outline of the criteria and process, how some of it is scored, and uh-huh. I think that that does play into it, you know, for a certain portion of that criteria, but it's not exclusive to threatened and endangered. Right. But that may give you, you know, additional points in one specific category.
Yeah, right. And then the deadline, or the whatever the lease agreement is, Mike, this will take, we have enough time for this to happen at the end of 17?
Yes.
Or
it appears.
Or can you yes. spend the money and then have the grant reimburse you?
Generally not.
Yeah, okay. I think that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Ron?
Have not because you asked not. I think it's great that we're asking. Mm-hmm. Any opportunity that comes across the table, we just go for it.
Thank you. Laura?
Yeah, I feel any funding we could get in any amount to help purchase the open space is an effort well worth their trying for. So let's hope we get something.
Gene?
Well, as we all know, this open space is a great project, very popular. This gives us another opportunity at the state to get money for these projects. Mm-hmm. I support it.
Mm-hmm. I support it too, and I agree with all my fellow commissioners' comments. I know I talked to Patrick in his office, and really, you had quite a few steps to put together a pretty good packet, so hopefully. A lot of that was the same information that you already applied to for the DR grant. So.
We were able to use some, you know, as far as project narrative and that sort of thing, certainly, you know, kind of fell in line as well. So we were able to utilize some of the other documents that we had.
Very good. Job well done.
And the deadline for submittal is again what, Patrick?
26.
Friday.
So we got plenty of time.
A couple of days to spare.
Patrick's staying late tonight. With that, I would entertain a motion.
Well, I'd make a recommendation that the City Commission approve the application to the Coastal and Estuarine Land Conservation Program for up to $1.5 million and allow the city manager or his designee to complete the necessary documents to implement the grant.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
You can leave now.
Yeah. Patrick, you can go apply. Start the paperwork before we're ready.
Well, we've started.
He's already got it ready.
Okay, moving on to item B, tennis court bids. Andy?
Thank you, Mayor. As everyone's aware, and we've had a lot of complaints about the condition of the surface of the tennis courts at Woodbury Park. Based on that, we went out to bid a couple different times, unfortunately. This last time, the second time we got no bids for it. The first time we had just one bid that came in at $68,000, which I knew wasn't gonna be very good. So we agreed to the bid specs, tightened up the scope work, and had a mandatory pre-bid meeting to get qualified contractors on the site to get us bid. The basic scope of the work is removing the existing surface, installation of proper subsurface materials as needed, because we're not sure that there's proper sub-base, particularly sand and gravel underneath those courts, why the problem we're having with with all the heat and grinding. So installation of new surfacing, new markings, including pickleball markings, that's another popular thing that's going on, and all the necessary ancillary work, like, you know, fence removal, net removal, reinstallations, and all that fun stuff. Five contractors showed up for the pre-bid meeting. A couple of them were just paving contractors, and a couple were just the ceiling application contractors. So out of that, we got two bids that came in when the bids were due on the 17th. One from Harbor Springs Excavating for the amount of $105,870.74, and one from Elmer's Crane and Dozer for the amount of $142,500. Both these contractors have done work for the city in the past with good results. Harbor Springs Excavating just rebuilt the tennis courts for Petoskey Public Schools, so I think they have a pretty good idea of what it takes and what it costs to get this job done. So it's my recommendation that we award a contract to them. Part of the funds are still available, but, you know, having no idea what this was going to cost, we didn't know what to estimate, so we're a little shy on the total. So I'd ask if we could consider awarding this, and hopefully we can cut some of the project costs down, but also come up with some extra funds to do the project also. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other comment from the public or department heads? Let's go to board discussion. Laura?
How much over are we from the original estimate?
We figured it was going to be about $40,000 to redo them.
And it's way over, isn't it?
Way over.
It's like quite a bit over. And
but again, this, I should say that these are all the specifications and recommendations that come from the National Tennis Association and the International Tennis Association for proper tennis court construction.
And when, when is the proposed start time?
This fall we would start and probably have to finish up in the spring. Get the asphalt surface down in the spring, do the markings. So, because they can't do the markings for, I think it's 21 days after the asphalt has been placed. So that would put us in a weather not conducive to doing the markings, so that would be probably finished up after May 1st of next year.
So this would be paid for like in two pieces?
Correct.
Okay, so pay for the initial taking it out and doing some of the preliminary stuff and then finishing in the spring. So
right.
It'd be spread out a little. Okay.
But also, as the manual said, as needed on these subsoil works. I mean, if it's there or if it's required a little bit, that price will come down.
Okay, and what if more is required than what is estimated?
Well, what's estimated is
the max
is the exact requirement. So
okay.
Instead of having 6 inches of sub base underneath, if we've got four, we're going to have to add two, so it won't be the full 6 inches.
So you're thinking this number is the worst case scenario?
This is the worst
okay.
case scenario.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's all I have for now.
Ron?
Well, it's a well-used facility, and it's I've been out there several times and looked at it. We've had many years of deferred maintenance. I'm in full support of moving forward with the project.
Thank you. Gene?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of difference in the bids, the two bids for that. Harbor Springs does have the experience. I support the recommendation.
You?
Well, I share some of the concerns that Laura has about paying for it. I don't know if it could be broken out in two budget years, but it's I think there was $50,000 in that fund and some of it's been spent. So, you know, maybe two budget years would be an appropriate way to do it. I'm not sure if it seems like we're bidding something out and we don't have the money to pay for it in the budget, from my point of view.
Yeah.
But I know the project's really got to be done. So. And the courts are in district, you know, they need to be repaired, all that sort of thing. So,
Andy, Mike, or Cindy address the budget topic?
I can really quick it. It's okay. Because the way this timing is going to be here, the second part of that won't be able to be completed until the new budget year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to split it across that second budget year anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We can't, you know, spend the money. Go back and grab it from last year, like you're reallocated for next year. part of the process.
And then the pickleball, I don't play pickleball, but somebody said if we just did one court, that would probably be sufficient, where it's taped. Right now they're doing it with chalk or something, and it rains. Thinking of one of the courts that's closest to the west side.
Right.
That one.
Do you plan on marking all of them with pickleball markings?
Some of those.
Just because if someone's playing on a court, or you got a bunch of people there, and there's only one court, mm-hmm. you know, you got a bunch of people that want to play pickleball, and there's only one court, it's not fair to all of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think it's really going to be a major difference in the price.
Well, it's just the tennis players apparently don't view a pickleball court the same. That the lines get in the way. And I don't play tennis. It's just one of those things. So, mm-hmm. Right.
No, in regards to pickleball, I've worked at the Charlevoix Municipal Golf Shop there in the pro shop for about the last 15 years. And the courts, the tennis courts, I can see them all day long, and they're packed with pickleball players. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just unbelievable how it's caught on.
Yeah.
Pickleball.
Well, some, you know, the school plays their tennis there also, and the State Athletic Association has no problem with dual court markings in this case for the pickleball and the tennis. So, I mean, I think part of that might just be some animosity between people who play tennis and don't think that pickleball is really truly a sport. So.
Yeah, sure, a lot of it's that.
You know, in Charlevoix, they've got over, there's no better fighting, but it's a high traffic area all day long when the weather's good. Sometimes rain or shine, either way.
Mike?
Again, with regards to the amount that this is over, we would probably be looking at a budget amendment before the end of the fiscal year anyway. As we go through the budgeting process and shortly after the holidays, we'd be looking to see exactly how we're coming out in Parks and Rec and you know, how much additional funds would be needed. Mm-hmm. And either carry the funds over from this fiscal year if there's enough, or looking to add to it either in this fiscal year or in next. So the commission basically has a choice where they can either accept the bids as they're presented, reject them all, and ask us to redo it at a future time after we rebudget additional funds. I don't know if the costs are going to get any less. I would kind of doubt it. So I guess it all depends on how important you think it is to refurbish the tennis courts at this time.
Mm-hmm. So, sorry, go ahead.
I don't play tennis or pickleball. So how many courts are there?
Four. There's a map on the back.
All right, and yep. So they're just trying to remark them so they fit either sport, basically, right? So
again, it's not just remarking.
I know, it's redoing and rebuilding. Yeah. But I mean, we're talking about also remarking and that issue.
When this project is done, there'll be due use facilities.
Okay.
There's one marked over at the Harbridge. The Harbridge, one of the two courts at the Harbridge is marked for a pickleball court, so that gives mm-hmm. you an idea. So the $68,000 or $70,000 number, where did that come from? That was it? Was it bid before and that's what the bid came in at? Or?
The bid before was not to totally remove and renovate the courts, but given what was happening with the service of the courts itself, it was highly recommended by actually Larry Fox, our city's engineer, to
rebuild
it. Go ahead and do the full removal process so you can get a better product and you know, get a longer lifespan out of it. Mm-hmm. So.
Anything else?
Yeah, longer lifespan, how long? Once they're redone with their last.
It's a little bit of regular maintenance. It should last 50 to 60 years.
Oh,
so
sure.
A good street will last, you know, 30 to 40.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows how long the existing courts have been there. Yeah.
At the same time, the Lions Club built their concession booth there at the first ballpark.
Late 70s is when the Rotary Park was built. Ball fields.
So,
you know, I think
it was 1985, I believe, when
they've been resurfaced and stuff.
Been resurfaced. Yeah. They were built in the late 70s.
Yeah. But they've been resurfaced.
That's definitely remembered.
So, okay.
So we got 30 years.
Okay. At least.
Yeah.
They've been going downhill for quite a few years.
Cool.
Well, I'm in full support. I know there's a very active group that meet up there at 9 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, anywhere from 15 to 25 people, and they're dual tennis and pickleball. And, you know, this is, if we offer a facility, then it's our responsibility to maintain it. And that's, they're well used, well needed, or much needed, and I think it's a great idea. And I have seen the new ones at Petoskey, very class act. So I'm assuming Harbor Springs would be fine. So I'm in full support. And I'm looking for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration to approve a contract for the tennis court repairs to Harbor Springs Excavating for the amount of $105,870.74 and authorize the city manager to execute the required documents.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you. Moving on to the crack ceiling bids. Andy?
Thanks again, Mayor. This is part of our annual pavement maintenance program. We go around and seal cracks on some of these streets that are not in very bad shape at all, but this is a front of maintenance part of the program to help get our asphalt surfaces to last a lot longer. This year we're looking at about 2.75 miles with a unit price of $21.95. This was advertised for bid. Bid packages were sent to three different contractors, and only one came back with a bid this year. One of our local companies who's been doing it for a few years, Applied Pavement Maintenance, did not submit a bid. He said he was too busy and didn't want to, you know, give us a shoddy job by trying to do it too late in the season, so I applaud him for that. But the unit price this year is very favorable in comparison to last year's. It's like almost exactly the same. So this different company who's done work for us in the past in the streets and also on the airport, as a matter of fact. They've done that job out there a few times also, so I have definitely no problem awarding this contract to them. My recommendation to do so. Thank you.
Any comments from staff or the public? Moving on to more discussion, Rob?
I'm full support.
Gene?
Well, usually I like to see more bids, but that's a lot of difference than last year's cost, so I support the recommendation.
Laura?
Yeah, my question is, why Division Street? Is that really that bad?
It's not that,
that,
that
bad, need?
But we don't want it to get that bad. This will help seal up those cracks and keep the water from getting in, getting underneath and freezing and popping the road up. This is actually the most important tool in the preventive maintenance toolbox, is to get the cracks ahead of time, get it sealed up as soon as you can.
Right. Does that leave the squiggly lines everywhere?
It's an overband, yes it does. The product I specify to use is not the same one that MDOT uses. Ours is a thinner overband, allows more to get into the crack that way. So it's not as bad as it was. A couple of years back we had it where you could actually seal it up with the snow piles in the winter.
So it's going to make it look patched, kind of. You know, I mean, I drove that a couple of times the last few days, and right. Boy, it's hard to see any cracks at all. There's a few here and there, but not anything that right. seemed major. So,
and that's part of the reason you notice the unit price per mile is a lot lower than last year, is because of the fact that we're down the roads now that don't have a whole lot of cracks to take care of, and they price that accordingly.
They don't coat the whole road then, or they do?
Just
where it's
just needed. Where the crack is.
Okay. Yeah. I just hate to that look on the roads. It just
There's no doubt you're going to be trading off some
appearance
issue with regards to longevity.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have a clear product.
I understand. It's just I drove it. It seemed pretty smooth, and it didn't seem like any real cracks.
And again, as Andy mentioned, our goal is to keep it that way as long as possible, so try and get this stuff early before the water can actually penetrate and start popping pavement.
And it is a truck route, so it probably will wear different. Yeah. Okay, that was my only question.
You, excuse me, you?
I just had to question if it was $1,400 less this year, why we didn't do more. Andy, could you respond to that?
This comes out of the same fund as what we're going to be talking about next with our road maintenance work. So, I mean, this is great to do, and it's, like I said, it's one of the most important tools, but we've got some other issues we need to address on other roads. So I try to take, you know, as much as I can for this work out of the budget, but I also have to look at, you know, what I need to do to restore some roads that are in the shape that we need to go ahead and take care of.
So do you know, like, now what roads you'll do next year?
I will look at that either late in the fall. Actually, typically do it twice, late in the fall and early in the spring, to see how what I've looked at has passed through the winter, how it made it through the winter. You know, some of what I have on the list for this year for the crush and shape and stuff, I'm going to have to back that off, but we'll talk about that later. But some of those can go another year, maybe two, even if they have to. So it's just they're getting the shape now where they're starting to come apart.
That's all I have.
Okay. I'm in support. I would look for a motion.
Make the motion for consideration to award the contract of overband crack sealing to Falmer Asphalt Sealers in amount of $6,036.25, authorize the city manager to execute required documents.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunge?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Moving on to pavement maintenance bids. Andy?
Well, as we just got done discussing, that time of year, we get our annual road maintenance bids out. This year, we're doing some more of the crush and shape work and also some more of the asphalt mill and resurface, or otherwise known as the mill and fill type of work. Bids are, you know, advertised for bids, the two major paving contractors in Northern Michigan, Panhandle and Reef and Riley, both submitted bids based on the unit cost of each bid. My recommendations are to award the crush and shape work to Reef Riley and the mill and refill surface, or mill and resurface work to Panhandle. So they're not specified. Again, I know those are over our budget, and I will be adjusting quantities to get us back in line with where we need to be. This again was our worst case scenario. Okay, this is what could happen right now, but the reality hits a lot of times it gets cut back. So thank you.
Any input from our department heads or public? Okay, Gene?
Yeah, I don't know. Any question? I have a comment. I like the way that contracts were awarded to two different contracts. Save the city some money. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go next just because this might clarify some things. So can you explain the difference between the two crush and shape paving versus the curb work?
Okay, they're both the same, where they, you know, they crush the road, mix it in with the gravel underneath, and regrade everything. But when they repave, the tip of curb gets added on as the paving, as part of the paving process. From those streets we have, like hills and stuff, we're trying to use it to control water flow. But there's other streets that we don't put the tip up curb on. So it's just a little bit difference in the unit price. But it's basically the same work, it's just one gets a curb added to it. Help with water flow.
You're not saying a pave, the curb that's formed, preformed?
It's not preformed, it's formed as the asphalt's going down. It's made up, it's built out of asphalt, like
there you go.
Pleasant
okay.
Street going up the hill.
That's where I was confused, okay.
Right. Yeah, this, the machine has a little thing that tips up and it forms that angled curb.
Okay.
As they're going down, maybe.
So it's basically wedged at the end to
yeah.
Direct the water so it doesn't spill off and basically undercut the road at the edge. And again, as Andy mentioned, that's done where we've got grades and stuff that's likely to do.
the other roads where they're very basically flat and you just let the water go off to the side.
Okay, and since it's still my turn, so explain which roads. I see the map here.
Yeah. I have a copy of my map and it's probably so much. Well, basically everything on that map except for South Lake from Pine to Main and North Lake from the bridge to just past River Street is going to be a crush and shave project. So those two are the mill and fill areas because they have the curb and gutter and you can't crush, reshave, and then add because you're adding on to the thickness of the pavement platform by doing that. So the curb and gutter areas you can't. Those are the two areas that we're doing the mill and fill. The ones with the hash lines are on hills typically, like Grant Street here. This is where we'll be adding the curb as part of the crush and shape paving. Mm-hmm. And that's that section going from East Main up to all the way to Lincoln, I doubt. I can't see that part.
Okay. Right.
And again, it's not a full curb, it's the wedge at the end.
Right. Okay. That's what was confusing me.
Andy, could you just explain how you select these roads? Or, I mean, there's
by the paving condition itself, you know, I go through and I rate the pavings, you know, the roads as, you know, what condition they're in. These are typically roads that are 3 or 4 rating versus like the crack seal roads are typically a 7, 8, or 9 rating, depending on how bad of a 7 they are. So, there's other treatments we could use. Unfortunately, we found them to not be the most effective or longest lasting treatment. Some of the other ones we've done in the past with the crushed stone and the sealer on top, they haven't held up. So I haven't found anything else that was going to work as, you know, as well as what we're doing now. And this is a recommended treatment plan for roads of this condition, so crush and shape or mill and fill.
What?
I forget how many years ago it was, but
2000.
It was that the first year we started this? We brought representatives from Emmett County Road Commission down here to introduce us and kind of discuss with us the PASER rating system, which I believe is a 1 to 10 scale, where 10 is basically a new road, and a 1 is, you know, really, really bad. And the major premise is, okay, you try and do what it takes to keep your top roads in top condition, because it's a better use of resources than putting stuff into your lower quality roads. Those are, you know, once they hit a certain point, it's like you might as well just give up on them until you have the funds to basically rebuild them. We did that before with Northeast Street for a number of years by Commissioner Cummings' house. That had been paved, and then it got to a point where you're just patching on patching on patching. You're just throwing good money after bad. That road, it basically lost it. And at that point, it was actually returned to a gravel condition to get us through a couple of years until we could come up with money, and then we were able to get the grant program that basically reconstructed that as a curb and gutter road to a quality that's never been before. So again, the PASER ratings, which Andy was talking about doing that, there's a whole scale of, you know, education, and Andy's been to classes on it, things of that nature. It's kind of a standardized process to help, you know, judge your roads and kind of give you some type of a data-driven basis to do it, rather than just saying, well, that road's really bad and we need to work on that. In some respects, it's counterintuitive because we're putting resources on our best roads to keep our best roads. And sometimes that means giving up on some roads if they get to that point.
And I think, fortunately, a couple of years back, we turned the corner on that. We've got, you know, none of our roads are really in the shape now that, you know, that let's just give up on them, forget about them. We've got some that are starting to get really bad. Cedar Street, for instance, is a good example. Hopefully, I'll be coming to you next meeting with an engineering proposal to get it on the shelf for future year and have it ready to do the work on even on Cedar Street. I think we've turned that corner and we're actually in a very good place. So I just think we need to keep going and try and keep it.
And again, I was just going to mention that, I mean, if you go to other communities and you compare our road situation to what you see in a lot of our neighboring communities, I think we're in a much better spot.
I appreciate this conversation because I appreciate expertise, the professionals, the assessment of the roads, and that whole process, and I appreciate our good roads. But I brought this up at budget time for the last 2 years, and I'll just state it for the record again. It seems like that $300,000, basically 260 plus 40, well, it's close to almost $300,000. Could we skip 1 year and pave some of our, with the same amount of money, pave some of our unpaved roads that are currently gravel? And we've had this discussion at budget time, so I'm not here to argue. I'm just here to point out that our policy is that $300,000 won't go very far, because our policy is to do complete curb and gutter and sidewalk and storm and drain and so on and so forth. So I get that process, but there's some gravel roads in our town that don't have curb, gutter, storm drain and so forth, but they have there's a few blocks of gravel. I just think that I'll bring it up again in budget time again this year, that sometime we have to take that $300,000 and see how many streets we can do versus this process using the same monies. I realize this is a good process, and I realize the science behind it, but we still have 23 streets unpaved. So, for the record, stated it again.
That was greatly discussed when we were introduced to the PASER system, and it's a great discussion to have, and maybe at some point we'll talk about additional resources. And if you look at what the state's proposing, or with the ballot measure that was approved, it wasn't ballot measure, the group legislature approved that additional funding, supposedly additional funds are going to start coming our way, so maybe that'll give us some opportunity.
Sure. Or based on the fact that you said we're above the game now, we're ahead of the game, maybe now is the time that every other year we do this process. So anyway, good discussion for a later date. Ron?
Well, as far as this year's recommendation goes, something's not done with Court Street, but Robinson Street, which is listed on there.
That Bob and Hill's getting bad.
It's really getting bad. I mean, you've got all the heavy duty equipment going up that road. And I know when it was first built or redone, there was only a roller curb on the east side of it, and the west side of it was washing out, and it's this crack ceiling. It looks like it's going to be this wide. I mean, it's just full of crack seal. And if we don't do it, I mean, it's going to lose it.
Right.
And the question that I have, are we going to put a roller curb on the west side of it this time?
Both sides, correct.
Both sides, and will there be an outlet there, maybe halfway down the hill that's paved into the
We'll have to talk to the neighbor about that. That road is very tight to the right away on each side. I think that's for some reason.
Yeah, it's only got a couple of feet on the west
right.
side.
And I don't want to dump a load of water in that one person's on the west side's yard if I don't have to. In the backyard especially, because the way that yard is sloped, it all starts to run toward the house. I'd rather get to go down around the corner and run out into that little bit of a ditch area that's in the front.
We'll take the little curb right around the corner.
We'll take it right up to the spring line, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Laura, do you want to go ahead?
My basic questions here. How long does this system last usually on a particular street? I know you did Lincoln Street by my house a few years ago, and it seems like it's holding up for a while, so.
Well, that was one of the older treatments that we've done. That wasn't a crush and shake
treatment. Oh, okay.
That was one of the, chip seal.
Oh, slurry,
on top
okay,
of it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's when it's failing in other locations.
Uh-huh.
For instance, is parts of Lake Street, you'll see that going
right.
going north here out past the uh-huh. open space. Some of that work's starting to fail now, so we'll be looking our next round of grant monies. I think Mike and I already talked about this, that we get through the state, that we just did Court Street with, would be to perform this type of a system on that area.
So this is a better system then?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay.
You're getting rid of all the old asphalt, and then crushing shape, you're actually reusing it, putting it in with the gravel
okay.
underneath, increasing your sub base to give you a more durable
okay.
road.
Okay. Right, and then you said, you made a mention that this was way over what you budgeted.
It is.
So how much over?
Total about $40,000 over.
Okay.
So we'll cut back on some of the quantities. And again, this is based on worst case scenario. This is going off the map, measuring off a map and saying, okay, we'll get out in the street, we'll look at all the intersections, we'll probably cut some of the intersections out, just go straight through. So we'll save some money that way.
Save a little bit from that projection, okay. All right. I always think like Tom does too. It would be nice to have this money to spend twice, you know. Do two things with it, but we can't, so we have to do one or the other, so. Okay, thanks.
Do you have anything else, Hugh?
I just have a request that when you refer to the budget, you know, like it's in the budget, I'm still trying to get acquainted where things come from, if you could include the line item in the budget. So we kind of, yeah, so okay, you kind of sure. Know where to look just to get a better feel for how
absolutely.
Things are.
Yeah, right. That would help, yeah.
And then you kind of know what you're going to do next year then, right, Andy, sort of?
Kind of, yeah. A lot of it's going to be what I don't get done this year. You know, if I have to cut back quite a bit, that'll be the top on the list and we'll go from there. Mm-hmm. So probably some more of Jefferson Street next year. I'm looking at that already. So
I was just wondering with the discussion that Tom brought up, if maybe there's a way of looking at what might be done compared to what might be able to be paved or rebuilt or whatever, that you could just compare the.
I could base it on unit pricing. In fact, I think we already have some of the information that was done by C2AE as well.
We have that complete inventory, 23 streets,
yep.
$3 million in price tag for all 23. Mm-hmm. Streets to be done. That's
a pretty much the city standard with curb and gutter.
That's where I got it.
Of course, that number might change because that was done a few years ago.
Yep.
Yeah. About $6 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
5.4.
So, do you like actually drive the street, Andy, and like keep a record of it every year or twice a year or whatever, and you just drive every street and monitor?
I do. I drive every street and look at them every year. That's correct.
That's all I have.
Okay. Anything further? Looking for a motion.
Go ahead, Pete.
I'll make a motion that we approve the road maintenance bids for Fanny Nolan and Reith Riley.
I'll second that.
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Conklin?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, Andy, one more time.
And I promise this is the last one, folks.
Yeah, it better be.
Item E, zero
for this
reading more of it.
We're looking at replacing our 2004 Kubota zero turn mower. It has well over 6,000 hours on it, which for that type of equipment is pretty darn good. Right now, it's starting to fail. It's using about a quart of oil every 8 hours, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it kind of is. It should maybe use, you know, brand new. Obviously, they don't use any, but that's still a lot of oil, so the guys have to carry oil with them all day long just to keep an eye on it. So the bushings and the control levers are failing. That's the part where they used to manipulate, so it's kind of shaky to operate at this point in time. And the mower deck is getting thin, so it's about due. It doesn't owe us anything. I don't think it's been a good piece of equipment. We spent some money on it over the years, but again, for being a 2004, I don't think it's too bad. Bid specifications were prepared and advertised and sent to Ginnup Sales and Lappin to deal with also. Ginnup Sales came back with another Kubota zero-turn mower. Bid, and we've also been using that mower as a rental unit while the other one was broken down. And they came back with a little bid of $12,400. Lappin's did not submit a bid, and there would have been a John Deere. And nobody else sent a bid either. So it's my recommendation we purchase the Kubota ZD 1211 zero turn for the $12,400. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from the department heads or the public? Okay. Hugh, you want to start?
I just had a question for Andy about how the rent, you know, of $2,400 went. Could you explain that to the rest, Andy? I mean, the actual cost of the mower is $14,454. but we paid $2,500 or $2,400 in rent this summer for a mower.
Right, since the other one went down, we needed to have another mower. And that's a brand new mower. They prepped it up, and you know, we went and picked it up, and they were charging us, you know, $120 a day. So
do we get a new mower now, or do we get the one we rented?
We'll get the one we rented. That's the discount.
I also had a question, too, about Husqvarna, you know, as a local person, but apparently they don't make a mower that meets the specifications that the city requires, so I just thought it's always good to support your local people, but there's a good reason not to.
I saw that. Good point. Yes. Laura?
Well, I'm not into mowers too much, but how many mowers do we have? Just two?
For our mini mowers, we have the zero turn. Uh-huh. We also have a larger, it's a Kubota, also a front 72-inch front deck mower. You see everyone's got the cab on it. We use that in the winter also.
Right.
Slow blowing and the room that's on the front also. And then we have a couple of smaller push mowers used at certain locations throughout town.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if we were to wait and get, say, one in the spring, a newer model, what kind of price would that be?
Well, we lose the $2,400 discount, and we pay rent to keep this mower that we currently have now till the end of the season, which is probably four or six weeks.
Right.
So, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense.
Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Could I just ask one other
thing? Sure.
So, Andy, basically, the mower we have is shot, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Is it worth anything at all?
We can keep it for a backup.
Yeah. Wouldn't sell it then?
We could. Okay. Some parts that did go bad while I was on vacation have been replaced. So it's either sellable or we can keep it for that.
Jean?
Yeah, the mower deck's getting thin. That could be a safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting old, parts are wearing. I guess it's time to replace. The only question I had, you answered it, is what is she going to do with the current mower? I support the recommendation.
Thank you.
I support the request.
And I do too. So at this point, looking for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration to award the contract for the purchase of the 2016 Kubota ZD1211. Zero mower to Lanson in an amount of $12,400. Authorize the city manager to execute the required documents.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunge?
Aye.
Neathammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is closed session request for city manager evaluation. Before we do that, we will go to item 10 and 11. I do not anticipate that there'll be any action items after we come out of the closed session, so that's for your information. You don't have to stick around. So under good of the order, does anybody have anything?
I'd like to thank everyone who came out and supported the Cancer Relay for Life last weekend. Even with the rain, there was quite a few people at the survivor's dinner. So again, thanks.
Good. You or Laura?
I'm good.
I'm good. I don't have anything to.
Thank you to Laura for keeping an eye on our brick selection.
Our brick selection. So,
well received. Thank you.
When we have them up, we'll let the commission.
Yeah.
Okay. So, announcements. Wayne City Airport will be closed Saturday, September 3rd, 2016, from noon until Sunday, approximately 8 p.m. that is for the drag races, Mike?
Correct.
Because the drag races will be held on Sunday, September 4th, from noon till 5 at the airport. The city offices will be closed on Monday, September 6th, in observance of Labor Day. And the next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, September 13th.
Actually, it'll be closed on September 5th for Labor Day.
Okay.
I was noticing those three dates didn't match.
Yeah.
So how do I do this? Do I go to Cindy? Do I go to, do we adjourn here?
Nope. Nope. You make a motion to go into closed session.
So at this point, I'll make, yes, Mike.
I would request that the city commission add an additional item to go into closed session with regards to, since we're going to go into closed session, I have something that came up that I think would be beneficial to discuss. Again, I don't think that we'll talk about it or need to come out and take any action with regards to it. It'd be to go into closed session for the discussion of the consideration of purchase of real property. So it'd become a two-issue closed session.
So for the record, under closed session, we have two topics. One is city manager evaluation, and number two is purchase of real property.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I will make a motion that we go into closed session. It's 1:32. We have a second?
Second.
Roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Conklin?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.